You'll find our scripture reading this morning in the book of the Psalms. We're going to read together Psalm 86. Psalm numbered 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me. The assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me, and comforted me. Amen. The Lord will bless to us this portion of his holy and precious word. And shall we briefly seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy presence thus far with us this morning. And as we turn now, O God, to thy word, we pray, Father, that thou wilt speak in the stillness while we wait on thee. Hush each heart to listen in expectancy. Though, Father God, as thou dost speak, grant that each individual this morning in thy presence might have that hearing ear, that understanding heart, that ready and willing mind to do whatsoever the Lord would say. Continue thou with us now, we pray thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we turn to the Word of God, Dr. Gingrey mentioned the invitation leaflets that are available. You have a very real opportunity to use these today because, owing to Bible conference, our numbers may be somewhat diminished this evening. And we would really like you to make an effort, if you're able to come along to the Lord's house this evening, to endeavor not to come alone, but to use the invitation cards and to endeavor to bring someone else along with you to the house of the Lord this evening. This is an opportunity of service for the Master. I trust indeed that you shall so endeavor to work this afternoon. I want to speak this evening, by the way, upon the subject of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to endeavor, as the Lord would be our helper, to show that the death of Christ was indeed a voluntary act. That it was not a compulsory or involuntary thing, but that he laid down his life He had power to lay it down, and he had power to take it again. Do be much in prayer throughout the day. You might know the blessing of the Lord even this evening. Now, this morning I would direct your attention to the closing verse of the portion of the Word of God which we read together, verse 17 of Psalm number 86. And especially we're going to look at the opening words of the verse, "Show me a token for good." Show me a token for good. Is it right to ask a sign from God? Is it right to inquire and to seek for a sign from heaven? I believe that it is quite legitimate for the child of God so to do. But the sign may be asked either in faith or in unbelief. But in the proper attitude, with an attitude of faith, I believe it is right and proper for you and for myself to come to the Lord and to ask of Him, even in the words of David, "Show me a token for good. Give me a sign of your favor, Lord. Give me a visible manifestation that thou art favorable toward me." Abraham did this. Abraham was called of God to leave his homeland, to leave Ur of the Chaldees, to go into a land that he knew not, to wander as a stranger. And in Genesis 15, you'll discover Abraham asking, "What wilt thou give me? What shall the sign be?" And of course, the great sign and promise that God gave to Abraham was that of Isaac. The seed, the promised seed, that should come even from his body being dead. In 2 Kings chapter 20, you'll discover Hezekiah likewise asking a sign from the Lord. God told Hezekiah that he would die and not live, and he cried unto the Lord, and he was extended in life by a period of 15 years, and he asked for a sign. And the sundial of Ahaz went back those degrees as a sign or a token from the Lord that he indeed would live. Perhaps the most famous Old Testament sign seeker was Gideon. In that day of oppression, when the hosts of Midian had come into the land, when Israel was overwhelmed, when idolatry prevailed, when the land lay in darkness, God came to Gideon. One man in the midst of an apostate nation overwhelmed by sin. God said, "Through Gideon, I will deliver the land." Gideon was fearful. We can understand his fear. But he put out his fleece before the Lord. "Let it be dry, let the ground be wet. Let it be wet, let the ground be dry." Twice seeking a sign, a token from the Lord, that the Lord was in this thing. And indeed, on occasions of special importance to us, if we are changing a job, if we feel the Lord is calling us into a particular ministry, then I believe it is legitimate and sometimes even fundamentally important that we ask that the Lord would certify and guarantee and give a real assurance that this thing is not of our own emotion, that this thing is not of our own heart, but it really is from the Lord. On other occasions, the Lord Himself asks men and commands men to seek a sign from heaven. One of the most wicked, ungodly kings that Israel ever had was Ahaz. In fact, he was proverbial for his wickedness among the kings of Israel and Judah. This is that king Ahaz, you read there in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. But in Isaiah 7, God comes to Ahaz through Isaiah the prophet and says, "Seek a sign. Ask a sign of the Lord. Ask it either in the heavens or in the earth beneath." And God comes and says such a thing, my dear friend, don't turn him away. Ahaz, in his ungodliness, said, "I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." And we read then, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive." The Lord appeared, did He not, to the shepherds there outside of the city when the Savior was born? "This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the child lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes." This very day in which we worship the Lord surely is a day of most glorious signs, when the tomb was empty and the stone was rolled away and the angel could say, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay." But thank God He now is on high. If He is not, raised from the dead then are coming together this morning as in pain. Our wedding in the Lord's presence is indeed not for the benefit of our souls, because if Christ be not raised, then our faith is in vain. In the Gospel of John, the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ are specifically called signs. The turning of the water into wine at the wedding there of Cana of Galilee. We are told this beginning of signs did Jesus. So the Lord gives signs, gives tokens of His presence, and we with a legitimate and a proper attitude of heart may come to the Lord. With the words of David, even here, show me a token for good. In the first place, I want to point out to you this morning that there is no doubt, no fear, no distrust, no lack of faith in these words of David. He is not coming to God trembling, worrying, heartbroken, and concerned for his own spiritual standing. The words of the psalm, the words of the prayer, make it perfectly clear that David's heart is in perfect harmony with the Lord. In verse 5, for example, here is David's attitude towards the Lord in prayer. For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. In verse 8 again, his knowledge of God. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. In verse 12 he says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. In verse 13 he expresses his knowledge of the mercy and the greatness of God toward him. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. In verse 15 again, he draws a contrast against the wicked with the mercy of the Lord. Thou, Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Now there are times, and I have to confess it, when I would walk in darkness and would not be able to pray such a prayer. Times when we would be so overwhelmed with fears and doubts and distresses. We are but men. We're reminded that Elijah, the prophet who saw fire from heaven, who slew the prophets of Baal, who prayed in a day of darkness and the Lord sent revival from heaven, in 1 Kings 19, immediately following the great victory of Carmel, Elijah is found running away from a woman under the juniper tree, praying that he might die. So there are times when the most outstanding saint of God can know darkness, but David is not in darkness as he prays this prayer. He's in communion with God. He's in fellowship with God. He's in praise with God. There is no doubt. There is no distrust behind his words here in this psalm. In fact, the opposite is rather true. There is faith. There is trust. There is confidence. There is a strong consolation in the Lord. If you look at verses 11 and 12, you'll actually discover that the psalmist has a desire to do the will of God, a desire to walk with God, a desire to do just whatever the Lord would say unto him. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. In the psalm, he expresses his trust. In the psalm, he reveals his steadfast confidence in the Lord. The whole psalm abounds with this great, steadfast hope and confidence in the Lord. Yet, notwithstanding that, David still comes and says, show me a token for good. Show me a token for good. Now, why? Well, he was in a particular problematical situation. In verse 14 we read, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. Now David was not in fear. He was not in darkness, as it were. He was not walking in unbelief with regard to the Lord. Rather, there was trust. But he was in a particular situation of problem. The pride had come against him. The assemblies of violent men were seeking after his soul. These God-denying, blaspheming men, they had not recognized the Lord, but they were seeking the soul of the Lord's servant. And in such an hour, David said, "Show me a token for good." My dearly beloved, I would put it to you this morning that all around us in this our day and generation, there are multitudes of such evil, wicked, godless enemies of our souls. Let us take time to look around us today. Let us open our eyes as we live in the world during the incoming week. We cannot escape this fact that the Church of God is but a little flock. One thing I have found most difficult since coming to Greenville has been on the doorsteps, having 80% to 90% of folk telling me that they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I walk around the town, I just have to say to myself, if it be so, if the vast majority, and outward profession suggests it, if the vast majority of folk in this city and its vicinity are walking in fellowship with the Lord, know Him truly as Savior, why does iniquity prevail? Why does sin abound? Why so much crime? Why so much of apparent and open evil? The Lord said to His church, to His own disciples, "Fear not, little flock. There are many who would seek after our souls to destroy it. The proud are risen against us." I believe that in this day, when there is so much ungodliness, it behoves you and I who know the Lord to seek a visible, open manifestation of the favor of the Lord. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him." Can we deny that the enemy has come in like a flood today? Can we deny that all around us in this nation, iniquity abounds, that sin abounds in every hand? Therefore, I believe that you and I have the right, yea, the necessity of coming to the Lord and saying, "Lord, show me a token for good." When the enemies of God's people see the desolation and the oppression of the church, do they not often blaspheme? How many times in the Psalms do we read of the pride saying against David and against other of the psalmists, "Where is their God? Where is their God? Where is now your help?" Do they not blaspheme and mock the church today? Do they not scorn the very name of our beloved Savior today? Do they not delight in heaping reproach upon His name and upon His church today? Does not the devil delight in raising up a modernist who will deny this book, who will deny the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, my friend, there is one way, and one way perhaps alone, that you and I can demonstrate to the world that our God is still upon the throne, and that our Lord Jesus Christ is today a mighty Savior, and that's not by lowering our standards and compromising with the world and trying to identify with the world, but by praying that the Lord would show us a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because Thou, Lord, hast opened me and comforted me. So many have tried to, well, win the world by being like the world. That's not the psalmist way. I believe the way that we should do it is by asking of the Lord to call for a visible manifestation of God's favor and God's goodness. In Psalm 126, we read some of the most precious words in this connection. "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream." Have you ever read books of the Lord's workings in generations gone by? We have heard with our ears, my. We have read, we have listened to the stories of revival when God swept over particular parts of this globe in such a mighty way that nothing could stand before him. When men were struck down in the very streets, prostrate before him because of the mountains of their sin, my revival in that fashion is like a dream. Israel can be taken from their homeland and down into Babylon. Because of iniquity, the land languishes in sin and the darkness. But all when the Lord brings back a remnant. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them the dream. Have you ever dreamt of revival? Have you ever imagined the outpourings of God's Spirit? What it would be to see America on its knees before God with the spirit of repentance and the spirit of righteousness and rejoicing? A dream. But there's a God in heaven, and he can do beyond our wildest imagination. He can do far more exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Listen to what it says as we go on down the psalm. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. There's much crying. And our tongue was singing. Today there's much sorrow. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. That's it. Show me a token for good, that the wicked, that the proud might see it and might be ashamed. And they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Then the psalmist goes on, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord. Turn again our captivity, as the streams in the south. O Lord, that thou wouldst do it. Back home in Northern Ireland in the late 60s, when the powers that be really sought to oppress and to, if possible, stamp out the witness of the free church, we were brought into such a situation as this. The then Prime Minister of our province said that, well, what he called Paisleyism, that it was dead. Within 12 months, the numerical strength of our various congregations and the number indeed of congregations had trebled. Show me a token for good. Oh, my, the proud, the violent, the assembly of wicked men, they would rise up against the church of God. But the Lord made them to be ashamed, and they who would exalt themselves were cast down, because thou, Lord, hast opened me and comforted me. Now how can we have this? I believe we have it in exactly the same manner as we read there in Psalm 126, or the following verses. He that goeth forth in tears shall reap in joy. We need that spirit of humble repentance before our God. David felt the oppression of the enemy. He was not in fear in his own heart, but he was in a problematical situation, and he cried therefore unto the Lord. He came with earnestness, turn unto me, have mercy upon me, give thy strength unto thy servant, save the son of thy handmaid, show me a token for good. My dear friend, I believe we can have revival today. I believe we can have a demonstration of the power of God today in our generation, if we're in earnest about it. If we are in deadly serious earnestness about it, if we are willing to come to God with that brokenness of heart, with that total yearning of spirit, that nothing else will satisfy us. For if we don't have a token of the Lord's favor, if the heavens remain as brass, if the heavens do not pour upon us showers of blessing, as it were, then shall we not be overwhelmed and completely and utterly destroyed? David wanted, for his own sake, no doubt, that they which hate me may see it, and that they might be ashamed, but he prayed for it above all, for the glory of God. Show me a token for good, Lord, this week. Can this congregation ask that? Dare we ask it of the Lord today? Even as we would come together this evening, we've already intimated that it's quite a possibility. Our numbers may be small. Lord, show us a token for good by making up the numbers that will be absent. Lord, in this new week, in my place of employment, show me a token for good by leading me to a soul that I can lead to thyself. Lord, show me in my business, show me in my daily life a token, a manifestation of thy favor, that I may be reassured, that I may have a strong confidence that the Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do unto me. That the heathen round about, that the world may say concerning this house and concerning this people, the Lord hath done great things for them. Not that they have done great things, but that the Lord hath done great things for them. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we pray that thou wilt accept our worship. Lord, how we bless thee that thou art willing to demonstrate thy power on the behalf of thy people. Lord, give us an appetite, each one we pray, to seek thy face. Lord, where we might be, in the neighborhoods in which we live, the place of our employment, in our family, Lord, in this house, to ask of thee for signs from heaven as a demonstration of thy love and of thy care for thy people. Bless our continued fellowship in thy presence around thy table this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.